Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually. And today, to talk about Exo Squad Episode 2 with us, we have a guest. Hello, guest.
Hello. Hi. I'm Justin Aki, one half of Naked Honor Co. and graphic designer and extraordinaire. And you didn't say the whole, like, so far.
I didn't, well, because I wanted to get to you being here, so I didn't do the long pause. Sometimes we do a long pause, sometimes we don't. It varies from time to time.
You know, it always amuses me how long of a pause you do, because I know you hate doing the pause, and MC loves doing the pause.
Yeah.
Do you know what the trick is on how I survive the long pause? I use Overcast to listen to podcasts, and Overcast has a feature called Skip Silence. So when I listen back to the episode, I don't hear the pause at all.
Not to get too far into the weeds, but I listen to most of my podcasts at 2.2x, so I don't hear a single silent piece in general at all.
I am not one of those people who will shame you because I listen to my podcast fast too. Listen, some podcasters get real upset about that. I don't understand it.
I understand the reason why they get upset about it, because it is engineered to be fantastic. However, I listen to about 8.5 hours of podcasts a day, so I need to listen to them very, 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 very fast so I can get them all in my brain at once. If I can inject them straight into my brain, that's the best part about podcasts.
Someday we'll just have an uplink cord we can hook into the back of our skulls like an Exo Squad, and we'll be able to get our podcast that way.
This is a straight Exo Squad situation, because I listen to, again, 8.5 hour podcasts a day. I want to inject them straight into my brain. Put them straight into my brain. No podcast waiting at all. Just 38 times speed. Just done. Inject them right now.
We are going to talk about Exo Squad Episode 2, Seeds of Deception. But first, since this is the second episode of the show, we'll just talk about some random bullshit first. Am I random bullshit? I have two random bullshit things, MC. And Justin, I'm so used to just saying MC when I talk here. I'm probably going to accidentally not talk to you at times, Justin. It's no offense intended. Number one is Gargoyles. I've been watching so much goddamn Gargoyles, and that show is so good, MC. I know we liked it when we watched it here, but I'm about halfway through season two now, I think. And it's such a good show. I love it so much. I'm so glad I picked it up again. Are you a Gargoyles fan, Justin?
I'm a Gargoyles fan because the audio podcast, the audio like cast members, they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. That audio holds up the entire show. Like, yeah, fine, whatever. They sold cartoons, they sold like figures and stuff like that. Oh my god, everyone in that show is great. The cast is fantastic.
You know your show did a good job casting when Jonathan Frakes is like the weakest actor in your cast. Because he's the one who, like, from time to time, I'm like, oh, come on, Riker, you phone that line in a little bit. My other thing is Hades. I finally picked up Hades. Have either of you played Hades?
No. I'm on a trash PC right now, so I play a lot of roguelikes and a lot of low spec games, like the HIO type games. So I can't play really anything new.
Yeah, Hades just came out, and I wouldn't... it might have, like, particle-y stuff in it that would make it tough to run on a weaker computer. I'm not sure. I'm playing it on Switch. But it's a roguelike where you are the son of Hades, and you're trying to escape from Tartarus? Is that right? Greek hell, basically. Yes. You're trying to escape from the underworld. And it's a roguelike. Place.
Yeah.
It's a roguelike, but the roguelike is built into the story because it's basically that you're like, screw you, Dad. I'm going to go hang out in Olympus. And then you die as you try to escape. And Hades is like, ha ha, you suck. And then you have to start over again. And it's very good. It's like a isometric, fast-paced action game that also is like deals with Greek mythology. And it's beautiful. And it's very good. It's very, very good.
The roguelike I'm stuck on still is Void Bastards.
That came out on Switch, and then I forgot about it. And I meant to get it when it came out on Switch, and it didn't. Maybe someday. I want it to have multiplayer, Void Bastards, but it doesn't.
I'm a big fan of Streets of Rogue, roguelike. It's kind of like a multiplayer, four-person, you could do single-player, though. Just straight crazy, crazy roguelike. You could be the Incredible Hulk, you could be a midget, you could be... It's a whole bunch of crazy stuff. I do know that you are a big fan of Castlevania or Metroidvania type games. Mm-hmm. And I did think I did share on the Discord, which, by the way, here's a plug for the You Could Probably Make This Work podcast network Discord. Come join us. We're fun. We're great. Awesome. We talk all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm on there hourly in general. But I did share a Romantlevania podcast, which is kind of like a very horny Romantlevania like type thing where you get to play as a sexy Dracula who has to murder things to get points to like date people. So just a heads up, like there's a lot of things out there that are roguelikes and very, very crazy. Again, I'm big into low spec games. I'm big into, emulation. So that reached right in my alley. There's a Kickstarter going live right now. I'm not affiliated with them at all, but I love them. So there you go.
I remember you showing that. I have not looked into it too much. I will have to go back and dig it up again and check it out.
I will say I backed their last game, which was a game based around being blind and having to invade a haunted house. Right. It was crazy. They did very well. I enjoyed the hell out of that game. I didn't back their current game just because it was a little high for like what you had to do for the levels. Last time they kept it like $10, $15. This time they're up to $30 because they did very well this time. Last time they ended up porting their game to the Switch, just a heads up. Like they know what they're doing. They're pretty good at programming. So
cool.
Yeah.
MC, what do you got for random stuff? What you been doing with your time?
Well, last night, me and my sister started a new anime called Demon Slayer.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a surprise. It's an anime. Of course I don't. I would only know it if you had told me about it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I only really discovered it last night. Like, and it's good because me and my sister sit down and we watch 10 episodes.
Holy smokes. That's too many episodes. That's so much. 10.
They're only 20 minute episodes.
Yeah, but still, that's 200 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of minutes.
That does kind of go against the you guys are going for fantasy next time and you've already gone ahead and done 200 minutes of a non-fantasy type show. Again, plugging your whole, hey guys, go vote on Twitter on their fantasy for this season. Or that's the next version they're doing. There's space and then they're gonna do fantasy.
We need to figure out the phrase we use for the next segment, it's the next series, the next show. But when you say the next show, it sounds like we're making a new podcast. I always struggle with how to refer
to that. I don't know how that works either, because you guys did Samurais last time, and you did three different shows versus Samurais. Like, you did three shows. Like, it was three different shows that you guys rated and reviewed for best animated ever shows so far.
Did you do three Samurai shows in a row?
I think you did. You had Samurai Jack, and you had, what was the other one?
Rurouni Kenshin. I think it was just two. But what did we do before Samurai Jack? Dexter's Lab was before Samurai Jack.
No, I really did appreciate the what's the one with the school? Like the My Hero Academia.
That My was Hero great, Academia?
Yeah, there we go. I always thought that was kind of a samurai type thing. Like there was planning involved with that. I mean, it was a superhero, but still there was like, I don't know, there was something with that one.
That was way back. Was that the first thing you recorded, MC?
That was the first thing we did.
Oh my gosh, first thing you recorded, third thing you released. See, I'm a long term listener. Yeah,
you know our list of shows been covered better than I do. I was like, wait, what did we cover before this one? All I remember is Exo Squad.
I realize this is episode 2 of Echo Squad, but like, you guys should have a list. Oh wait, no, you have a list. Yeah, just a heads up.
Yeah, we do have a list. I just don't check it until I need to, and then usually I have to stall because I forget that I have to check the list. Hey. You got anything for random stuff you've been up to, Justin, to share? besides the Kickstarter stuff you talked about?
No, I've been I'm part of the Podcasters Assemble this season, so anything I'm not doing is just watching James Bond movies, and it's really depressing because it's taken over my life, and my wife watches it with me, and I'm tired. Y'all, I'm tired.
She has been such a trooper putting up with those movies.
We were supposed to do six movies this series, and then we've done 20 so far.
Yeah,
so I'm tired.
I love James Bond. There was a D at the end of love there. I don't know if that was clear. I loved James Bond before doing this project, and I'm sober now. We're up to Daniel Craig now. Casino Royale is what I have to watch next, and I know that that movie is awesome. Yeah, and I just can't bring myself to do it.
Little behind the scenes work. We're recording this on October 30th, 2020. MC is actually already in the future because he's what, GMT plus 10. And then Troy is GMT minus 8. I'm minus 5. Mm. Like we're out. Like I have to record still for the Casino Royale episode. And I'm tired, y'all. I'm just tired. I've already watched the next two Daniel Craig movies, but I'm just tired. I have to record, and I'm tired.
I recorded like I think half of the Daniel Craig movies. I watched and recorded those way back at the start
when we were just doing the Daniel Craig movies.
Yeah, and they've been sitting there since, so I don't actually know which ones I've submitted for or not.
I can check that for you. Let me know.
Yeah, no, that's actually a legitimate thing. Eric did the same thing. He recorded his episode, 16 weeks ago? And he says, yeah, I have to edit mine still. Yeah, because that's a thing. Like, we forgot that we recorded all those. I took notes 16 weeks ago, and I just rewatched this movie because I want to keep them consistent how I've been taking notes, because we've watched so many damn movies that I forgot how I was like giving notes about these things.
I'm pretty sure it was about 23 weeks ago, actually.
Oh, there you go. See, I want to kill myself. So there you go.
But hey, at least there's good cartoons to watch, like Exo Squad, which we're going to talk about. Episode 2 of Exo Squad, Seeds of Deception, right after these messages.
Good evening, 003. The following is for your ears only and is classified above top secret by Her Majesty's Secret Service. Less than 24 hours ago, our contact with the We Can Make This Work, probably Podcast Network, intercepted an encrypted audio message sent over social media regarding the upcoming season of Podcasters Assemble, a hype rewatch podcast covering the James Bond films leading up to Bond's 25. According to our intel, Season 1 covered the Marvel Cinematic Universe, while Season 2 focused on the Star Wars Skywalker saga. For this season, the Podcast Network is looking to recruit field operatives from around the world to reminisce about the Daniel Craig Bond movies, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre, in a countdown to the latest film in the franchise, No Time to Die. Your primary objective is to infiltrate Podcasters Assemble by recording and uploading your submissions at probablywork.com, utilizing a two-way communications device with a built-in microphone, the latest from QBranch. In addition, MI6 believes that the first episode is going to be an overview of the series as a whole, showcasing everyone's favorite and least favorite Bond movies, Bond actors, Bond villains, secret lairs, cold opens, vehicles, and gadgets from the franchise's history, and more importantly, your background with these films. For a full mission report, go to probablywork.com. The first episode is scheduled for release on March 6th. We're all counting on you, 003.
And we're back.
We are back. You got to see what that's all that happens when I say these messages. We just sit here for a second and then says we're back.
I don't know why.
Here's the problem with that pause. Let me tell you. Let me take you behind the scenes. The problem with the length of the pause that we do for these messages, and we'll be back, is it's really a long pause. But it's not a long enough pause for me to easily see it at a glance in the waveforms when I go to edit these episodes later. So I still have to go through and find where the cut is. It's not, I can't just spot it like at a glance. I still have to find
it. This is a dumb question. Do you use Audacity to record or Audition to record?
I record in Audacity and then I edit in Audition.
Okay.
I don't know why I don't just record straight into Audition.
I actually do believe that in both programs, you can just press the M key on your keyboard. It'll mark it when you're recording it. It leaves a...
That's very smart.
Okay. just throwing it out there. Because that shit works in Audition and what's the video one? Premiere? That works in that Premier. One too. You literally press M and it will put mark. It looks a goddamn vertical line in your stupid waveform.
Yeah, I've hit that by mistake. I've never thought of actually using it. But hey, next episode. But for now, in this episode,
just heads up. Yeah,
we're talking about season one, episode two of Exo Squad: Seeds of Deception, which starts off. It picks up right where the last episode left off. With the Exo fleet in like completely in battle with the pirates. Like we pick up in the middle of a battle and see people just blowing stuff up. I kind of love it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the title is very disconcerting because also there's a secondary title. It's The Fall of the Human Empire Part 2. Mm-hmm. Like we're fighting the pirates, but this doesn't lead to the actual fall of the human empire.
That's
the
true.
Pirates are just worthless. Like
it's a distraction.
Mbaka, I think the guy's name is, and he's pretty cool. He has a cool beard. Like it takes up his whole head. Like the beard mm-hmm. takes up the whole head. But he has nothing to do with the fall of the human empire. Like this is a good series.
You know, it wouldn't take much to turn Mbaka into Santa Claus. Like he's pretty close.
A red suit.
Like, he could be a mall Santa during the seasonal months pretty easily. There's a moment here in this battle, I believe it's right up at the top here, where MC, what's the big fat guy's name is?
Bronski. With a B. Yeah.
Bronski.
Excuse me, sir, you did not burp before you said the word Bronski, so it doesn't count.
he's like about to die, man. He's about to get shot down, and Togaki comes in and saves him. And they've been like kind of at odds in episode one, and this is like a nice little bonding moment for him where they like rib each other a little bit because Bronski's like, "Nice going, kid. Thanks for saving my life." And he's like, "Yeah, you're welcome, old man." And you're like, "Ah, they just became friends." And it's like, it's very shorthand. It's very quick, but it like worked for me where I was like, "Ah, they're friends now. Like they're no longer rivals. Now they've earned mutual respect by Takaki saving Bronski's life." And I thought that was really nice.
I would like to give a little input. I listened to the entire first episode of when you guys recorded for episode one of the series. And you guys were talking about like, "Oh, hey, we're going to have like a whole space battle between like Exo Squad and like the entire pirate fleet." My thoughts were the Exo Squad should have hid behind like the boulders and hid behind like the asteroid field because the Exo Squad is tiny, tiny, tiny little ships. And these giant flagship carriers have point to fist systems that can destroy whatever comes near them. Like they have giant lasers. Like ships and people are getting killed for like no reason at all. And, like, the Exo Squad are just like, "Hey, let's send these tiny, tiny, tiny little ships to go attack these giant carriers." That's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, the only one in the fleet who could actually do anything, and we actually saw in this episode, was Takagi had, like, I don't know, like a F-15 fighter, like, version jet of, like, the Exo Squad. Like, he jacked in, and his fighter jet can just fly around and destroy stuff because he has, I don't know, rocket launchers and a propulsion system. Everyone else is just like just hanging around in the middle air, just floating around in space.
I mean, they're not that defenseless. The actual suits like can do some damage, and I think it's they are a. Well, I guess this is kind of giving away to what the rest of the series is going to be. They're really well suited for like guerrilla warfare. They're not so much suited for this type of combat. This combat, I mean, it's two fleet ships fighting each other. And then you've got these little tiny exosuits flying around too. And they seem to do fairly well. Like after Takagi does whatever damage he does, I don't remember what all he blows up, but he then like is non-responsive and Bronski has to grappling hook him because he has a grappling hook in his suit. Cause why not? Sure. And so then it's like this, you know, he saved him. Now he saved him back. And so like they're helping each other out. And I like all that, but it is weird. And what they want to use the exo fleet for, or the exo squad suits for, is for reconnaissance. It seems like that's what they're supposed to be used for.
Yeah.
In this kind of conflict, I think. Maybe.
I think they were supposed to get sent in so they could find out, like, the defenses of the pirates and, like, where they were positioned. But because they didn't do that, they just flew in there with their big ship. It was kind of obvious, and the pirates were able to put up a fairly good defense with their little ships as well.
Yeah, not getting into the what happened in the last episode with the whole asteroid being sent, like, straightforward, like, hey, we're going to use asteroids as weapons, which is pretty cool. That's a whole...
Yeah.
To be honest, this show is like Battlestar Galactica, where you hate every character, but you love every character, and you're like, you're all terrible people, but I love you, and I want you to survive. But, like, this specific episode is... The ships are terribly suited for, like, ship-to-ship combat. Like, they're going against fighters versus exosquad, and the exosquads are just hanging out there. Like, the exosquad really does best when they're sent on a reconnaissance or some sort of, like, guerrilla mission. Like, when they land on the ship itself, I think, actually, Torres landed on the other ship and just shot out, like, their reactor or something like that. That was the coolest part of this episode, where she's like, oh, cool, boom, blow up a whole flagship by one freaking exos frame. But everyone else just kind of like, even Bronski saving Takagi, like, it's a waste of the resources of his ship, because his exo fleet thing can't really pull with a grappling hook, because that's not how physics works in space.
That's not how space works. Yeah. What he did is he just pulled the two of them together, and then they hung out there, I guess.
I'll give you that. Whatever happened with that is, that's what happened. But in general, like, you're gonna have to leap this out, but the able squad of the fleet is the flips. They are like, hey, we have a mismatched amount of group of people. We have like some sort of like repair exo thing. We have a communication exo thing. We have a flying exo thing. We have a guy who shoots rockets. We have a giant like ground fighter slash like armament type guy. None of them are matched. This is not a, hey, we're going to take ship to ship battle. It's not actually a squad. No, this is not a squad at all. Like, and when you look at not to skip ahead, but the next episode, and actually the next two episodes or three episodes in a row, the complement of fighters in the able squad is terrible. They show you every version that the exo squad can do. They are not matched to anything. There's no reason that those guys should be like paired together. Even when they showed on episode one, when Bronski's like, oh, I can't fly through the canyon of Mars. Dude, you're not a flying guy. You're supposed to be landing on the ground just shooting off like freaking rockets and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's a testament to the show or an insult against me, but that didn't occur to me at all. But you're absolutely right. Like, there should be a squad of people with Marsh's flying ship, and then there should be a squad of people with like ground assault ships. Like, why do you just have one of each, other than like that's how you sell the toys, is you have one of each in the squad? But yeah, that it didn't occur to me at all.
Yeah.
Huh.
I will say that the Lieutenant Commander Marsh, which this is going to get into the why I watched this show. I thought this show was amazing as a kid. I did not realize until I rewatched this show for five episodes This show is a lot darker than I remember. This show is good.
Yeah.
This is not selling toys. For 22 minutes an episode, you see 6 minutes of fighter pilots and exosquads, and nothing else is done. There's character development. There is strife. There is death. There is exposition. There's even in the episode two when Sean Napier. There's racism. Oh, yeah. There's racism in this show. Like,
we'll leave Napier out of it. We'll get to Napier in a bit. That's gonna be interesting.
But in general, like, you're seeing 50 years past like the rising of the Neo Sapiens, and everyone's giving them so much shit. Sorry to bleep that out again. But I mean, they're giving them so much in this show, and this show has so much more depth than the stupid freaking toys.
Hey, so, like, I like those toys. Come on now, don't insult the toys.
I was brought onto this episode because I wholly agreed with the Exo Squad. Troy brought this up as a space episode a long time ago, and I was like, yes, yes, please, yes, no, no, yes, yes, yes. I didn't realize when I was looking at all the toys available, I had most of the toys. Not
oh, really?
Yeah, I had most of the toys. I had every toy except for like two or three of them. My parents were they gave me every toy. My parents gave me every free of these toys. So, yeah.
I was telling my dad about this actually the other day. I was telling him that I was like, I'm sure you don't remember these toys, but I used to have at least two or three of them. We were talking about records. He was talking about how expensive records were because there was something he was looking for. And I was like, you know, I just came across a thing that I had in my childhood, these toys that I had that, you know, we probably spent $15-$20 on each of them. And when I stopped playing with them, you guys probably took them to Goodwill. They're like worth, you know, $200-$400 a piece now. It's pretty nuts. And I think that that's a bygone thing. I don't think that that happens anymore because I think people who grew up in the 90s saw how things could become collector's items. And I think now that that market is like, it doesn't exist the same way it did for early 90s memorabilia, because I think there are so many more people holding on to things, hoping they'll be able to turn a profit on them later.
But here's the thing about that. I actually watched this entire 5-series arc and like, I want to buy these toys because they actually meant something to me. I'm watching this show and I'm like, oh, I actually used to have Marsala's thing with, it was Marsala's like little flight suit thing with Burns in the back. It was a 2-person thing. I had even the evil people, like I had the Neo Sapiens, I had the purple thing, like the stealth suit. I had their like amphibious suit. I was looking through all the stupid toys. No, I will tell you, there is a subreddit for this stupid show, ExoSquad, r/ExoSquad, if you guys want to join. It's a thing. This show brought things out of people. This show was instrumental in showing people that, oh yeah, hey, this is like the racism of 1993.
Yeah.
We're trying to show this. Like, it's incredible what this show did. I'm watching the show now like, holy crap, they showed this on network TV?
Let's get to, I'm going to actually skip past your stuff and cover the rest of what happens in space, and then we'll go back to Earth. So the team kind of lands back on the carrier. Takagi goes to medical. So does Bronski. He's got broken ribs, and he says something about that he broke his ribs in the shower, I think, but I think he was just trying to be tough. I wasn't quite sure. But then they go back out again, and Takagi can't go because he has a concussion, which is like fair. And then immediately they get called back to the ship, which is weird. So they go out at the beginning, and then they come back, and then they go out again, and then they come back. And this isn't a 22-minute episode. That's a lot of back and forth. But the reason they come back at that point is because they're trying to attack the pirates' base, and the Exo Squad that the Able Squad gets sent out to do recon to be like, is this a trap? And instead, one of the admirals decides they don't need to do recon, and then they fly in, and guess what? It's a goddamn trap. And it's like, this was where they were actually using them the way they should have, and then they didn't do recon and flew into a trap instead, which is weird. So that's space. Back on Earth, Charles Napier, you were talking about earlier. Not Charles Napier. It's Charles Napier is somebody else. Who's Charles Napier? Who's this guy? Sam Napier, right?
We're looking for Sean Napier.
Sean Napier. Who's Charles Napier? That's a name.
I don't know who Charles Napier.
There was a guy named Troy Dunham. Needed some answers, how would he find them? Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that person, Google that place, Google it all, cause there is no place to remember any reason, remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die, yeah, I'm gonna die, yeah, you're gonna die, yeah.
Google that shit, Google that shit, Google that shit.
Yeah, he's an actor. Dude, he's, yeah, I did just Google that shit. It's this guy. That guy's Charles Napier.
Charles Napier, that guy. He's a good guy. He's a funny person.
Anyway, Sean Napier is a cop who is getting drunk before his shift in a bar, I think.
I take that back. Sean Napier is a person who is conflicted about his job on Earth, because Sean Napier has to keep the peace on Earth. He's in Chicago, and he has to keep the peace between the recently freed Neo-Sapiens and the population of Earth.
And yeah, because the mayor of Chicago is like a big proponent of like Neo-Sapien relations, it seems like. He's decided to set up Chicago as a sister city to the capital city of Mars.
And Sean Napier does not like his job, but he still does it. So like the whole fight in the bar when we are introduced to Sean Napier is him fighting for the reason to fight. He doesn't like it, but he still does it.
I struggle with the fact that he's in a bar before going on to duty as a police officer. Like, I understand that he's a conflicted person, but that seems bad to be drinking before going on shift as a cop.
Even sir, if I'm on... drinking while I'm on a podcast.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be protecting and serving shit right now. I don't care if you're drunk on a podcast, but if you're drunk in a squad car, that's a little bit different.
Do you think that's the reason he got shot?
Okay, so what happens is, let's jump to that. There's a speech going on between the mayor of Chicago and Phaeton's there, the leader of the Neo-Sapiens, and there's an assassination attempt in the midst of like some citizens yelling at Phaeton about like yelling racial slurs at him and being like, you know, where were you 50 years ago? How many Earthlings? How many humans did you kill? In the midst of all that, Sean Napier is trying to be like, listen, I'm racist as hell too, but you gotta calm down. Somebody tries to kill Phaeton, and Napier tackles the guy and ends up taking a bullet. And then like you had that line where he said like, I don't like the Sapes any more than you do. And so he had a line where he like kind of lip serviced being racist. But at the time I was like, he's probably just saying that to try and get these people to calm down. But then Phaeton comes and is like, hey, thanks for saving my life. I really appreciate it. I'd like to shake your hand. And he's like, hey, I'm actually racist as hell. You can go to hell. I hate you so much. I saved you because it's my job, but I still hate you. And I was like, oh, he's for real racist. Like, shit.
But I say that nobody on this show is actually likable. JT Marsh is a little simp. He's a terrible, terrible, like, little pussy girl. And, like, everyone else in the show, like, all the girls in this stupid show are a lot stronger than JT Marsh. I originally, when you guys discussed Exit Squad, I was like, oh my god, JT Marsh. Oh my god, he's the Sergeant Major. He's gonna yell at everybody. He's fantastic. No, he has a soft
he's like,
voice.
He is the heart of the team, which I like. He is. There's the theory of the five-man band where like in a show with five characters, you have like the leader, the lancer, the heart, the other two that I can't think of. And you would expect JT Marsh to be the leader, but he doesn't play that role. There's not really a leader in Able Squad, but JT Marsh is absolutely like the emotional connection for all the characters. He's the one who's like, he plays the Deanna Troi role. He's like, hey, it seems like you're having a really hard time right now, Bronski. It seems like you're starting to realize that even though you put up a hard exterior, you actually have like a soft inside and you're worried about Takagi and you want to make sure he's okay. And Bronski's like, no, I'm not, man, shut up. And he's like, all right, man, it's okay. And I'm like, like, it's good that they have somebody playing that role, but it is a little weird that it's the guy that you think is going to be the leader is actually the, like, the bonding glue amongst the team. That's not normally how that works.
No. That it throws you off every single time you hear the intro to the show, because every time you watch a commercial break, they have like a little like a going to Exo Squad. Now back to Exo Squad. And it goes right into JT Marsh describing the squad and describing like what's going on with that. Like he is the center of the team. I thought he was gonna be a lot more hard ass than he actually was.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing. I remember his character being like, oh, I had like the flying device, like air. Everyone should have one of those stupid exo squads because that's a great exo team. Like his device is, oh yeah, I got 15 rockets and a machine gun. Like, why wouldn't you have that as a freaking exo squad? Why do you have like the Ripley exo squad thing? Like, why do you have the E-frame? That E-frame's dumb. Why does Bronski have an E-frame that has a grappling hook when you can have freaking wings? And a machine gun. That is literally the entire base of the show.
You've ruined that aspect of the show to me. Like, that literally never occurred to me before. I'm like, yeah, of course they each have their own one. But it's not like every pilot, when you watch Top Gun, it's not like the different pilots have their own airplanes that are, you know, unique. It's the same airplane. Y'all have the same one. That's how it works. Man.
That just should be how it works. Everyone gets the same, like, giant Gantor. Like, oh, yeah, 16 rockets and a freaking machine gun. Oh, yeah, everyone knows what the hell they're doing. Okay, fine. What's her name? Nara Burns gets in, like, off the dual pilot thing and gets, like, a baby one that goes with the jump ship. And she's a little ruined one. She gets kidnapped the next episode. Spoiler alert for the next freaking episode.
I actually do like hers, though. I like that one because hers. The idea with that one is that is the stealth E-frame. Like, that is the one you wear when you need to be, like, quick and nimble. So that makes sense to me that she would switch to that.
That's perfectly fine. But why does seven other people have seven other different devices besides to sell toys? Like, we've already decided this show shows, like, 6 minutes for every 22-minute episode of all the E-frames are on screen for 6 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, six minutes of a commercial, and then the rest is actual content.
Yeah, and the content's fantastic. It's like, this content is like so well thought out, so well written. Everyone has like a story arc, a story plot line. The admiral of the freaking ships goes through a coma, and like, oh my god, like I really feel for this guy. There's,
that's next episode.
No, not even, like, because this episode he goes into coma, but like the second
does he?
This episode he goes into coma because he gets the ship gets attacked, but like the stupid news guy follows everyone around the ship for no freaking reason. I'm like, I want to kill that guy. That guy's the worst guy in the world, and like
this that'd guy be gets, Charles McKenna.
I want to stab you in the throat for knowing that. But that guy gets like full reign of the ship, and like everyone's like giving him credit for things, but like, no, like everyone should be on the same stupid E-frame. Everyone should be on the JT Marsh E-frame. Everyone should be flying with 17 rockets and a machine gun because that is the best E-frame possible. Not like, oh, I have a repair for E-frame. I have a communication E-frame. I have a ground attack E-frame.
If they didn't have all those different E-frames, they would suck as a like guerrilla warfare group later on. So it's a good thing that they do have that variety. But I'm gonna throw more fuel on your fire here, Justin, because if you could indulge me with a rant, how about them uniforms though?
Okay, one, those are not uniforms of any kind of like recognized system ever, because everyone has 37 different haircuts.
The haircuts are fine. There's just, they have a casual haircut policy.
But hear this out. So like you have what's her name? Burns, right? Okay. So Marsh literally in his uniform has a gun and like his little pocket thing going out there. Like he's wearing a whole when he's not in an Avream, he's wearing a whole like 37th pocket like weird, I don't know, like BDU uniform. JT Walsh had a pistol built into his uniform, but Burns, the girl who was like thought about like dying in battle the last time, did not. Like, she got kidnapped for like literally no reason. And then you had Torres, had no reason. No one's uniform was uniform. Like, Bronski, like, just drank beer the entire time. Like, how is that, like, a military standard?
Like, he also wears a trench coat over his non-uniform. Yeah, I mean, so, their uniforms, none of them match, but then Bronski also just wears a big old trench coat over it.
The thing I don't get is, if you're in the military, and I realize that the ABLE squad is a, pardon my French, you can bleep this out, the fuck-up squad. Like, why does, like, the two rookies get signed to this team? And then, why are they signed to this team? And then, how are they, like, just those little implants in the back of their neck have to be very expensive. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to be a rookie, I'm going to get signed to the fucking team. No, you're going to be assigned to, like, a regular, like, military outfit. In fact, episode 5, later on this episode in the season, like, they command 7 different, like, things. Like, seven different squads go out there. Abel, Baker, Charlie, Echo, yeah. Delta go out there with different Echo E-frames or whatever. Why is Echo Squad, Abel Squad, the only one with, like, oh yeah, we got a rookie? No, that doesn't work that way. Like, you don't get, like, hey, the fucking squad doesn't get the rookie. You have to have, like,
how much of a rookie is Takagi, though? Like, I mean, a rookie in this case could be that he's, like, been in it for 8 years, but he just joined Abel Squad, so he's a rookie to the squad, maybe?
I don't know, because he's on a fighter pilot. Like, he's not even on an E-frame that can land on the ground. He can only fly. Which, by the way,
that is the
he's
part
the
that's
only
interesting
one that does
me.
Damage in the freaking giant battle. He's the only one that destroys those stupid guys in the turrets.
Yeah. It's a very ragtag military operation, even when they are a military operation. What later on, once the military's been wiped out, it makes sense that they're very ragtag. But it is a little strange that they're so ragtag right now. We've covered all the plot points, I think. MC, did you have anything we missed? I know you're usually better at details than I am.
No, I don't think so. There's, like, right at the end, after Napier's been shot, he chases after some street thug guy, and he almost gets run over by the Neo Sapiens.
Oh, right! And they have, like, some conversation about, like, hey, you know how we're secretly evil? That's pretty cool, huh? I don't remember what they say exactly, but it's something where you're like, hang on, maybe these guys aren't as, like, we've turned it around and we're peace-loving now as they seem.
Specifically in episode 2, they do call out that the Neo Sapiens are already gearing up for war with the rest of the council, which I do under...
episode 2. That's episode 3. Okay. I'm certain of that.
Okay, I believe you. I do know that they are in episode 1 as part of the council. My question is, if they're... Okay, just say the entire group of council members are every representative of Earth, planets, nations, whatever, plus every planet, Venus, Mars,
that's it. It's Earth, Mars, and Venus. Yeah.
Yeah, Earth, Mars, and Venus, and Moon. But there's, like, I don't know, there's, like, 40 people in that chamber, and there's only one set of Neo Sapiens. Like, that doesn't seem representative, like, of the entire complement of people. Like, they're missing some people. I will say this show does show, like, the Neo Sapiens as being, like, say, the Cherokee of the American tribe. Like, this is a whole thing. Like, they're underrepresented in general. Like, hey, fine, you have,
like, deliberately underrepresented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I actually had, I struggled rewatching this today. That intro video that plays on every episode, the one that we included in our last episode, I think it's about after this 5-episode arc. I don't think that is about the original Neo Sapien uprising. I think it is telling us what the status quo is after this 5-episode introduction. Because part of that introduction, it says that the Neo Sapiens took control of Mars, Venus, and Earth. And from my understanding of the first Neo Sapien uprising, the 150 years ago, I don't think they touched Earth in that uprising. So I think that that is the show telling us about what the status is afterwards, which is why then it's also like, and here's JT Marsh, and he's really important. Because at this point in the show, JT Marsh isn't that important. Like, he's just a guy. But by the time this 5-episode arc ends, and he's, like, one of the only people left to fight, suddenly he's important. So I think that introduction is misplaced, because I think it's actually, it's in the wrong spot. It should be, that shouldn't start until episode 6. Or maybe episode 5, because I think episode 4, Earth gets wrecked, but.
I do believe that the intro to the show starts after the whole series of Fall of the Human Empire completely. Like, that's Fall of the Empire 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. Like, the intro to the show starts then, because they always refer, starting back from episode 1 and 2, they do refer to the first Neo-Sapien uprising 50 years ago. As in, there's a 80-year-old person in the crowd who's like, y'all killed my wife. Like, there's a whole person, there's an 80-year-old dude. It's like, y'all killed my wife, and I'm gonna fight you to the end of the world.
She was 20 years old at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a sad line. It's weird, because I'm sympathetic to that guy, but also humanity made a slave race. And, like, I can't... Humanity's mad at the slave race that they created for rising up against them, and I just can't be too mad at the slave race for not wanting to be a slave race anymore. Because that's again, messed up.
I refer to the show as Battlestar Galactica, because this show is very well done, but you hate every character. Because there's no reason that there should be a slave race to, like, the entire human empire. Like, oh, hey, you know, we needed some people to, like, do a little extra work on Mars. And what I said the last episode, you said 25,000 Neo Sapiens a year. So
a month.
Okay, so was that 12 times 25,000?
Well, it was a Martian month. I'm not sure how long a Martian month is, or how many months there are on Mars.
That's going to require some, like, research. Okay, so
I think that probably doesn't exist. Are there are there months on Mars if there's not people living on Mars to count months?
There's gonna be
months
on Mars to you're gonna do just do the division, like the rotation of the Mars. But
how many times it goes around a year?
Just say 60,000 sapiens a year,
roughly.
A standard Earth year, 60,000 sapiens, right? So talking about 50. Oh, well, when did we control them? So there was a war 50,000 years before this.
There was 20 years between the 25,000 a month and the uprising, I believe.
Okay.
So
60,000 times 20 is a shitload of goddamn Neo Sapiens with 4 fingers per hand and 7-foot tall assholes. So there's a lot of Neo Sapiens.
Their assholes can't be more than 6 inches tall. There's a lot of them. There are a lot. It's, you know, I think your comparison to Battlestar Galactica is apt, but I think this is actually one step removed from that, even, because in Battlestar Galactica, the characters are all like there's no character that is easy to always root for, but when you're watching that show, you are able to always be rooting for humanity. And in Exo Squad, I don't know that I'm even able to do that because of what the background of the show is. Like, I don't know that I want humanity to win. Like, the Neo Sapiens almost have a, like they kind of have a point. Like, the Cylons become more sympathetic throughout the course of that show. But they also, like, wiped out humanity. And the Neo Sapiens aren't wiping out humanity. They're enslaving them. But they're not even doing that, as we see throughout the rest of this arc. They're just kind of like, I mean, they do a coup, basically, but they don't enslave humans. Well, they do have, like, work camps. I don't know. It's weird, because even humanity as a whole in this show isn't as easy to cheer for as humanity as a whole in Battlestar Galactica. So even there, it's, like, more, like, depressing and nihilistic. And it's a children's show that's made to sell toys.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of that is also because a lot of the humans that we do see are kind of racist. Like, a lot of the
Napier's
time, they're
supposed
racist
to be one of the characters we're rooting for, and he gets fired from his job as a police officer because he gets drunk and calls a political leader of another country a racial slur. Like,
specifically this episode. Which, okay, yes, fine, whatever. Able Squad is the one you're supposed to, like, recognize as, like, this is your base. Able Squad, the fuck up squad, is, like, who you're supposed to root for the entire series. regardless of politics, regardless of what their position is on the entire war. Like, Able Squad is your base. And they do have a ex-slave, Marcella, which is named after an Italian dish, which is delicious. But, like... I just killed Troy.
I'm good.
But in general, Able Squad's like who you're supposed to root for the entire time. I would say JT Marsh is the base of the show up until I did not watch through past season, past episode 5. I do realize from the wiki that he gets promoted. Spoiler gun alert. That is for a show from 1992. that he is promoted to an admiral, right? So, like, J.D. Marsh is your base for the show. J.D. Marsh is a very soft-spoken. He gives a shit about all his people. He cares about, like, what the war is going on. He does not throw away lives needlessly. He wants to control something. Anything. Whatever. When he even flirted with, like, going to Mars on episode 1, he was just screwing around because, like, hey, I need to test my people to see if they can land on this planet and land off again. Like, even Blonsky screwed up that shit, and they realized, like, oh, wow, we're going to practice stuff for the future. So by episode 5, he's like, wow, Blonsky sucks at space. We're going to have to do something better with him. So that's episode 5, people. Just a heads up, because this show, you know, we only cover the first 3 episodes. We're going to come back a year later. And come back to the next 3. But, like, this show is showing, hey, we're showing growth for this crew. Not the team on Earth. Not the jump squad, which is covered in episode 8. Not anyone else. We're just literally showing this squad, Able Squad, the squad.
They're always the perspective. Like, you always start there.
You start there, and you get their perspective. It's not the right perspective. It's not the right group, because they're still the white people per view. Like, because, I mean, in all honesty, the Neo-Sapiens are wronged. They were slaves, for Christ's sake. And we're talking about, like 90,000 slaves. Let's say they stopped after 9 years. Let's just say they stopped. Like, you know, 25,000 a month. After, like, so many years. Like, there's so many damn slaves. And we're like, oh, yeah, you get the planet Mars. Whoopity-doo. You still have to terraform that shit yourself. Meanwhile, Nora Burns' family runs, like a 120-acre freaking farm on Venus. Because they own the farm on Venus. Like, they can sell that shit to Earth. Like, what do the people on Mars get? What do the pirates get? What's the goal of the pirates in this the entire
apparently
show?
The background of the pirates is that it was a there was a prison colony. Basically, we sent all of these shitheads to Space Australia, and then they rebelled and became pirates.
Oh shit!
Like,
it's
that's,
MC.
That's the background there.
MC, you're a fucking pirate. No, in general, so like we engineered pirates in the real world. Pirates captured ships or they captured booty. And they traded that for money. Now, if the pirates have to live on a stupid asteroid with cloaking technology, what do they trade that stupid booty for? Because you can't trade shit if you can't go to a planet at all. Everyone wears a stupid uniform that has little crosshairs on it. Oh shit, you're a pirate. Oh my god, I can't trade with you anymore. Because if you
Well, it's also really obvious who the pirates are, because while everyone in Exo Squad has terrible hair, all the pirates have terrible facial hair. So that's how you can tell. That's the giveaway.
Yeah.
I think I want to, like, start winding down. But MC, have you watched past this, or have you just watched these first
two? I've seen episode 3, but I haven't seen the rest of the arc.
So we're going to, there's going to be a little bit of spoilers here in a second, but first let's do our best and worst for this episode. And then I want to talk about what Justin and I have seen so far. So the best and the worst for this episode. With the worst first, MC, what's your worst thing?
Bronski's grappling hook.
What?
No, I'm with him because it doesn't make sense in physics. It just like shoots off for no reason.
And also, it not only doesn't hook not have a propellant, how is he reeling it in? Is it just gear and motor? Because then they're moving together at the same speed. Because he can't stay in the one spot then. He's actually getting dragged towards the thing with the more mass. Unless he's using his propulsion to push away from it as he reels it in.
He could maybe be doing that. Maybe.
No, I kept thinking about what's the stupid thing Orson Scott Card where it's like a kid who like
had Ender's Game.
Ender's Game. I kept thinking about that. Like he is the base is
Did
down.
You just say the stupid thing in reference to Ender's Game?
Yes.
I'm gonna kick you off my podcast.
Orson Scott Card is a racist.
Orson Scott Card is fucking terrible, but Ender's Game is great. Ender's Game is like Ender's Game and the extended Ender's series is one of the most fantastic books about not being a racist shithead in the world. It just happens to have been accidentally written by a racist shithead.
I'm more of a partial fact to the ground thing. So like I would say Ender's Shadow, and then I say all the stuff on Earth. But in general, Ender's Game, the physics makes sense more for Bronski's grappling hook to work that way. As the base is down, he grabs something and he's able to hook it and stand on top of that stupid fucking F-15 the entire time. Because he ropes
you get
in,
onto it and then he, and then you maneuver ropes, from there.
Yeah, he ropes onto Takagi's like ship after Takagi gets ruined. Like, Takagi does a great strafing run, destroys like 37 like freaking like outputs, which nobody should be going against a capital ship in general. Because this is like Star Wars universe type stuff. Like, if a Star Wars universe can shoot off lasers that can destroy, like, X-Wings, why would you go against a Star Wars, like, battleship? No. The Exo Squad is the dumbest thing in this universe because everyone's trying to shoot down the stupid things. And even, okay, not to skip ahead, like, 17 episodes. Like, the Exo Squad has to take down the Neo Sapiens. Like those are capital ships versus like tiny little fighter pilots. Like the fighter pilots are the worst things in the world. Like they're terrible. Like
they're suited for guerrilla war. It's fine. I have to pause you real quick before you give us your worst thing, which is what I need you to do next, Justin. I have to commend you for the fact that you prepared for this podcast better than MC and I ever do, which I can tell because every time you need a character name, you look to the same spot. And I don't know if you've got an iPad there or what, but you clearly have like pictures and names of characters ready to go so that you can actually reference people by name. Whereas what MC and I do are like, you know, the one with the blonde hair. What's your name?
I will say today I just set up my secondary monitor, so I'm looking at you. This is my monitor here. Hi guys. Hi. And then this is my monitor. I'm looking at you here, and I have a whole monitor over here with two wikis on it. I have the wiki with the every character name and the wiki with every f***ing episode. Like the whole thing's right here.
All right. What's your worst thing? Your worst thing from this episode.
The worst thing from this episode is that Sean Napier is an asshole. Like, Sean Napier is the pride of the resistance, but he's kind of a dick. Like, he is the worst person to represent the American resistance, the Earth resistance. He's like the KKK of the resistance. Like, he's not the best person. He is not the best person to say, hey, you know, like we can rise up and we can like serve humanity. We're gonna take over. We're gonna be the best people we can. No, Sean Napier is like, oh yeah, the Neo Sapiens are crossing the border. Like, no, what the hell, people? Dude, come on, don't be a dick.
My worst thing was also Sean Napier, but it was specifically the fact that our introduction to a police officer is him getting drunk before going on duty. That's bad. Don't do that. And this, again, is a children's television program. where we meet a police officer by seeing him getting drunk before going on duty in a children's program for kids. But my best thing was also from that bar scene. So my best thing is when I went to rewatch this today, because I'd originally watched it like 2 weeks ago. We were getting dinner ready and my kiddo was sleeping in the living room and then he woke up. So I paused it so we could, you know, deal with him and get dinner and stuff. And when I paused it, I happened to pause it on this particular screen that I, if I can, I'm going to send to both of you here. Actually, I'll just go put it in the Base SF chat channel because this screenshot is my best thing. And it is in the bar and it is the bartender reacting to Napier starting a fight with another patron sitting there. And everything about the screenshot is my favorite thing. So first of all, the bartender is some guy with like that like very traditional like samurai ponytail. I believe it's samurai that have
Fu Manchu like podcast. Like,
yeah, he doesn't have the Fu Manchu mustache, but the ponytail that would go with a Fu Manchu mustache. His line to the cop, the drunk cop who's starting a fight in his bars. Hey, hold on, you monkeys, which you can see in the subtitle in the picture I caught here. And the woman who's the patron at the bar is wearing a bra that's made of rags, apparently. She has red hair that the side of her head is completely shaved off, and she's wearing glasses that have frames that are different size on the left and right side of her face. Because the future, I guess, all of that is what makes fashion. And this, I feel like this encapsulates everything that is ridiculous about the style of Exo Squad. And so that screenshot is my best thing.
Can I say this? I love my wife, but I would hit that. I would hit that.
What was your best thing, Justin?
The best thing actually is the thing you just shared with the podcast, like the shared with the group. Because, I mean, in general, like, this show is ridiculous. This show is very humanist. This show is, very racist for what it is. I did not realize that after watching this stupid show. I'm like, oh my God, this show is amazing. And I can't watch it without, like, realizing, oh crap, now I have to submit to a stupid another podcast. So, no. This show is amazing. I did not realize when I was recording for the show, like, oh, hey, we're going to sell some toys. No, this show is actually real sci-fi.
Yeah.
This show has its own backstory, its own history. It does not coddle you when you go watch it. It does not give you a backstory to when you watch it. It gives you a, hey, here's an intro. Here's what the show is. Go nuts. That's literally the entire show is go nuts. Like, we tell you what we thought we were going to do. And, wow. So this went for 2 seasons? Really? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like, even the people who wrote the show, if you go look up synopsis of the show, season 1, season 2, they don't know what they're doing. It's the best thing in the world. No, this is not a joke. Like, they do not know what they're doing. They're like, hey, we tried. We tried to be, like, a podcast. Like, we tried to be a show from, like, a 1989 anime. Like, mm-hmm. season 2, they actually ended in a cliffhanger because this show is, it's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah, they thought they were going to keep going at the end of season 2.
That's the only reason that they did not. But, like, this show is a good show. It actually has consequences, has sex, has people who have literal feelings. And you actually get to see those mm-hmm. come across during the freaking season. For every episode you watch, there's 6 minutes of freaking Exo Squad and 20 minutes of like craziness of like real people's feelings.
You know, if I can kind of rephrase, I think the way that the wording of this that popped into my head is the show is like accidentally good. Like, I don't think that when they came up with this idea, they intended to make as good of a sci-fi show as it ended up being when it actually came out. Because it was just supposed to sell some toys, but then it actually has like good sci-fi in there as well. Which, like, I'm terrified of when we get to something like the original He-Man or something like that is just going to it's just going to break my soul that it's going to be trash, because I expected this show to be trash like that. And instead it's good. Anyway, MC, what was your best thing?
I'm going to say the 3D artwork, the holographic spray painting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, the guy who was spray painting on the side of the building, it like popped out at you.
Yeah, and when he was running away from Napier, he like dropped the can, and it what caused Napier to fall over and hurt his shoulder even more, and almost get run over by the Neo Sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the spray paint thing really just makes me wish that we had like more AR reality, like augmented reality stuff today, because. Really, we could do that stuff, but it's like, do you really want to be walking around with like a backpack and a headset on in public?
Listen, Banksy, we know you're listening. We really appreciate that you're such a great supporter of our show, but don't you go steal MC's idea for augmented reality graffiti. That's MC's idea, Banksy. You can't have it. Don't do it. All right. So that's our discussion episode 2. If you are watching Exo Squad, we've already spoiled a lot for you, but go ahead and stop talking or stop listening here, because I want to talk a little bit about what happens in the next 3 episodes to take us through the fall of the Human Empire. Because what happens is the Human Empire falls. It gets wrecked, MC. And I know you haven't seen all of it, but like humanity loses is what happens.
Not to get too much away, but we done fucked up. So actually, I will say the most realistic thing about this entire series is that they do deal with relativistic time periods. So it takes time for us to get to one place to another. There's no goddamn like space portal like it's freaking Star Trek. Like you have to fly from a Saturn.
Star Trek doesn't have space portals. That would be Stargate.
I'm gonna stab you in the throat, sir. It takes time to get from Saturn to Earth. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Even in the
And the entire Exo fleet has been committed to Saturn to fight the pirates. So the Neo Sapiens just like sweet and just like wreck shop on Earth and Venus and Mars, and they're like, hey, all of these are ours now. They're ours. This is our stuff. And then the Exo fleet, the guy who took over is like, let's get back there. Let's get back there. We gotta get back there and fight the day. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, we have two different kinds of ships, and we need to go slightly slower so that the whole fleet can get there at once. And he's like, no, we don't. And so he just jumps the part of the fleet that can get there fastest there, and they get wrecked. And so then the fleet's like cut in half. In episode 4 of this kids program, half of the standing military has been destroyed. And then the Exo fleet or Able Squad is like goes out into battle and ultimately realizes like we're all gonna lose, we're all gonna die. The only thing we can do is sacrifice ourselves in order to let some of the humans on this military vessel get away. And so like the carrier gets away. I think the one carrier, if I remember right, Justin, just the one gets away, right?
Two gets away. So one carrier gets away, two carriers? And then one other carrier gets away because they actually have the amount of ships that they need for the Able Squad to like regroup, because they leave all their stupid fucking boats, they leave all their stupid like carriers on Earth on episode 5. Like, hey, yo, you can use this to like fight the Neo Sapiens. Like, here's Mars' ship and here's Bronson's ship. You can go nuts.
They leave their exosuits. They leave the E-frames behind on Earth, and they're like, "Good luck, rebellion on Earth. We're gonna go find our carrier ship again." And it's like, what just happened? It's so weird.
Like, this show.
It's such a weird show.
Threw me for a goddamn, like, I expected after episode 3, like, wow, this show really stands out. Episode 4, I'm like, okay, cool, we're fighting on Earth. Episode 5, what in the living fuck is going on here? Because we don't have.
They abandon Earth. That's episode 5. It's like, well, we lost. Yeah. Goodbye.
Hey, thanks, Chicago mayor. We done fucked up now. And then, Hey.
MC, the fucking Chicago mayor becomes like collaborator number one. He's like, what do you need, Neo Sapiens? Do you want me to go kick some humans in the balls for you? Because I'll do it. Like, he's such an asshole.
Yeah. Ugh. If you want to look up the exact term, it's called Quisling, where he collaborates with the exact like amount of people who like have to take over the entire city. Oh yeah, they put humans in concentration camps.
Mm-hmm. Yep, humans go into work camps. There's one good thing though that comes out of the rest of this 5-part arc, which is there is one guy who's hanging out in Z-Frame, who's in the like guerrilla squad fighting back against the Neo Sapiens on Earth, and he's waiting for his next set of duties, but it's taken a little while, and so he's chilling by a creek where that's his posting where he's waiting. And MC, do you know what he does? He opens up the top of his E-frame so that it's just open on the front, and then his E-frame is holding the fishing pole, and he's just sitting there by the stream fishing, but his E-frame's holding the fishing pole, and that's very, very good. And it was probably my favorite bit from the entire 5-episode arc.
Fair enough.
Exosquad is a weird show. It's a good show. It is a show that I am going to keep watching because I just need to know what happens in it, because it is, I'm going to go back to, I think it is accidentally good. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I guess I'm not supposed to give last thoughts yet. This is an episode 3. I'm going to come back next week to give my last thoughts. Justin, this is your last chance. What are your last thoughts on Exosquad?
Is a well-produced sci-fi show that have to be about toys. Like, I think Exosquad was thought out and had a whole entire plan as far as like, oh hey, we have like a show that every 6 minutes we're gonna show like some stupid like I don't know, cartoon character like E-frame, but like the show itself is fantastic.
It's not, the show isn't actually about the E-frames, even though the focus is on the E-frames. Like, everything you look at about it, that's what the show's about, but that's not really what the show's about. MC, any last stuff for this episode before we wrap up?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I think the battles are, like, a little bit, like, cut and paste.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they very much seem all alike.
Like, I literally thought the episode started over on me today, because it's the episode starts with like, all right, we're sending out the E-frames and then we're calling them back in. And then the episode ends with, all right, we're sending out the E-frames and then we're calling them back in. I'm like, wait, is this,
I will just say, watch this part? Once you get into the, again, the Neo Sapiens start doing their own E-frames and like the guys shoot rockets out of like the shoulder, mm-hmm. It's the same thing every single time. Like every single time.
Yeah.
That does not surprise me in the slightest. All right. MC and I will be back next week. Justin won't be with us. Oh, wait, Justin, where can people find you if they want to find you?
You can find me at Justin Aki, or at Florida Harley Guy 84, or at Significant Otterco. I'm one half of that. Or you could join us at the Discord at They Could Probably Make This Work Network Podcast. I'm on there hourly. I'm usually on there just given my random thoughts about all sorts of stuff. I've been a guest on this season's episode of what are we calling this for the podcast assembly
season. We're coming up,
on the first episode. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, we're already past the Casino Royale, but we still have a whole series to do of Daniel Craig's James Bonds. And I will probably make myself available on one of the Epic Fails of History podcasts coming up soon, too.
Is the deadline for Casino Royale this week?
Casino Royale's deadline is November 2nd, 2020.
Shit. I need to watch Casino Royale then. Okay. Well, we will be back next week to talk about Exosquad Season 1, Episode 3, The Fall of the Human Empire, Part 3, Hidden Terrors. Until then, MC.
Don't change the channel.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.